Well, some context is that our total budget for the university is $423 million this year. And of that, 60% represents what we call our general revenue fund, which is another $253 million. And so of that, the state only pays $73 million, and the rest, the $180 million, is made up of tuition. So if the state makes a reduction of that $73 million of 22.25%, that'll translate into the university of cuts, revenue reductions of $16.5 million. And from that, the departments would reduce their budgets, but that'd be more in the 4% range of what they would have.
So it's not a 22.25% cut. It is a 4-5% cut.
Correct.
What is the starting point? The state has given Illinois State University nothing since last June. The budget proposal that year was for a similar sized reduction in the state appropriation of about 21%. So is this 22.25% proposed reduction in the state allotment on top of that? Where is the starting point?
Okay. The starting point is what last year's original appropriation was, which was about $73.9 million. And so if you take the 2.25 that they did end up reducing us last year, which reduced us down to about $72.3 million, and you add 20% to that this year, that adds up to a total of 22.25 from last year's original appropriation. Last year, they did do a mid-year reduction of 2.25. And so there have been some proposals of an additional 20% reduction, and there's been different versions of the House. They've actually had 8.5%. There's been some other proposals at the 20% level, but those 20% level reductions is correct. It would be the 20% of the reduced last year's amount is how we come up with 22.25.
So it's not 40%, it's 22.25.
It's 22.25 of last year's original $73 million appropriation.
From the governor, not what the House passed and was vetoed.
Correct, because the House passed and had vetoed an additional 8.5% over last year's reduced amount.
This is all very confusing for people. How is the general public to interpret this cut or that cut or this cut or that cut?
Well, that's a good point, because it is confusing, because the range of options have gone from the House's, the General Assembly's approval of the 8.5% to the governor's original proposal of 31% reduction. And there's been different proposals, both for, I think, from the Republican side and I think even from the Democratic side, of cuts somewhere in the middle of around 20%, again, on that revised level. And so there have been all these proposals out there. So that's why we believe it'll settle somewhere in between around that 22.25% level. And that's why we're planning for that.
And what are you actually operating on this year? Because you've received no money, what is your working assumption?
Well,
what are you actually telling people to spend?
And that's our plans have all along been for the possibility of something as low as 10% reduction. We have plans out there, and we've actually reduced the budget by that amount. We have additional plans that the departments are supposed to be prepared to have additional cuts up to the 22.25. And we actually have a contingency plan in case worst case happens and it's 31%. So what are we operating on in the meantime? Well, we're operating on those three plans, but realistically, we're hoping that it's going to be somewhere in that 15-22.25% reduction. We don't know that. There's nothing definitive that has told us, has indicated to us that it will be that, but that's what our working assumption is.
Are you actually operating then for the current fiscal year, for which there is no budget, on about what you're telling people to plan for next year?
Correct.
So not much change.
No. Actually, we're hopeful that even if we have a reduction this year of something less than 22%, that we'll get it next year. But we don't see that there'll be a big difference between the 2 years. And so we are operating on that level of 22.25% reduction.
Please unpack as much detail as you can in the 31% scenario.
Okay, so a 31% scenario means for us that our reductions could be almost $23 million, worst case. And so we already have the $16.5 million identified and planned for, and departments are accommodating that into their budget process. But in order to go to a 31% scenario, that means we have to come up with several more million dollars of reductions. And so in that case, you would see a very drastic reduction in deferred maintenance items. We're postponing a lot of those items right now. There's some roofs that we would act on this year if in our normal budgeting had planned for. They're due this year. They're not necessarily in bad shape, but they're part of our capital planning. We would reduce that kind of spending almost entirely to just health and safety related issues. And you would do that across a lot of areas. We would do much more strict reductions of equipment purchases. We've been doing that. We've reduced a lot of the equipment we've bought this year, but we would have to somewhat freeze that kind of spending. And so we'd have to take that next level of reductions in order to do that. And then ultimately, if those were not sufficient to manage those cuts, then we would have to consider, are there other savings in personnel that we'd have to start thinking of ways to perhaps manage that? But we've not done that at this point because it's been no requirement for it.
We're operating in an uncertain environment, and uncertainty is not good for a lot of people in a variety of ways. We're hearing about faculty being wooed or leaving the U of I because of the shaky finances. What about here? Are we seeing that?
Well, we always have people wooed away for a lot of reasons, and unfortunately, when the state situation is less stable, that's probably more difficult to retain those faculty that have other opportunities. But we're not seeing a significant amount of that. We're, again, portraying ourselves as we are very stable, so we don't think there's a lot of concern on campus at this point about how the only state's operating and managing this. We do find in our recruitment that it's probably that message is out there more with other individuals, particularly from out of state, about what is the situation with the state's budget and how we're managing it. So we have to deal with that a little bit more, particularly in faculty recruiting.
Attrition in staff and faculty retirements above the usual rate?
They're really not. We had a little bit of a bump in January, but that was more of a change in the pension formula.
Mm-hmm.
But no, our attrition is about the same. Other than the planned attrition, that because when we have attrition, part of our budget strategy is to keep those positions vacant and to save the money on those.
What is the vacancy right now? How many positions have you deliberately left
right
empty
now,
because of that?
We've right now, of the positions that we've had, either from retirements or other vacancies, we're at a count of about 94 non-instructional positions, so that doesn't count any faculty and staff, which would be just full-time and extra help.
And what's the bottom line for the savings then?
That savings represents about $3.8 million. If you add in some grad assistant positions that we've not refilled and some student positions, we're at about a $4.2 million savings from just personnel reductions.
Are we getting close to a number above that 94 at which the operations of the university will be affected?
I don't think we're quite there yet to be noticeably affected, but every position reduction has some effect. And so I'll just give you an example. One of the reductions in my division is in student accounts area. We had a retirement. We didn't fill that. So there's seven people that staff that area. That's just one out of seven people that doesn't answer those calls. And so the students wouldn't noticeably notice that, but during busy periods, the phone's going to be lined jammed up a little bit longer than that. You're going to see some subtle things like that, but I don't think any kind of serious service reductions.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Greg Ault, the Vice President for Finance and Planning at Illinois State University, about the uncertainties that Springfield is continuing to give higher education in the state of Illinois. Last year, ISU deferred setting tuition rates for a month in hopes of waiting out the budget standoff and allowing the situation to clarify. It didn't. Will you do the same this year, or how will you handle it?
Well, that, of course, is yet to be determined by when the board wants to make their decision. But at this point, the board has begun those discussions. We, in fact, had a meeting with the Board of Trustees on Saturday of 4 hours, and where the board wanted to go over a lot of these same discussion that we're having about our budget reductions and how we're managing that, as well as the board had us investigate different tuition options that we might consider for next year. And so we're in that discussion stage. The board has not determined exactly when they will make that decision. And so, again, we might hope that we'll have a budget at that time, but I think, as you indicated, there's a very good chance that we would not. But the board has not yet set that time for the decision.
What is the range of thinking on a likely tuition rate hike that the staff are pitching to the board this year?
Well, it would definitely be in a modest range, and so nothing specifically has been identified yet, but something in the very modest range.
Greg Ault is the Vice President for Finance and Planning at Illinois State University. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Charlie. I appreciate having me in.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.